day, and welcome back to What's Ailing America, one of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. On this show, you will hear the truth no matter how against the grain it is. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by the Republican mainstream media. On this show, you will hear the truth no matter how against the grain it is. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by the Republic Broadcasting Network, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list, and my list hasn't been working for a couple of months, but we're working on that, folks. It's really amazing how many internet and computer issues I have to deal with. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, non-traumatic seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. And please call rather than email because the email is having a problem as well. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. For we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing, especially with the legion of disinformers out there. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The number to call in is listed on the RBN website. That's republicbroadcasting.org for all of you people listening on terrestrial stations. And that toll-free number is 800-313-9443. Every week I will answer the question, what's ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we've been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. So I ask you to please spread the word about these broadcasts, and we must wake up a critical mass, folks, because it's getting very interesting what's going on in this world, as you know, if you're paying any attention at all. And I know the listeners to this internet station are in the know, and that's a wonderful thing. I'd also like to remind you that I co-host a show every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time, 2 to 4 p.m., 3 to 5 Eastern Time, called 2FYC with Janet Phelan. So I encourage you to also listen in to that show on Saturdays. On today's show, we will answer the question, what's ailing America with inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction? And I get many requests from my listeners to cover vaccines more often and to give out my information. However, I don't like to do shows where I'm just giving a lecture. And one of my listeners, Patrick Gowden from Florida, came up with the excellent idea of him interviewing me. So we will bring him on after the break. I encourage all of you to call in if you have any questions about what vaccines are doing to people or pets. Today is your chance. So please do call in. We'll be right back after the break. Stay tuned. And back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction, with my special guest, Patrick Gowden from Florida, and I'm going to bring him on in just a minute. But before I do, I just want to alert all of you. I just received a colloidal silver update from the company that I bought my colloidal silver generator from, and I just want to let you know that the environmental bureaucrats have added a surprising new twist to the battle against colloidal silver. And what the FDA is now doing is that instead of standing by their false claims that silver is ineffective, the environmental bureaucrats are admitting that silver is actually an astonishingly effective infection-fighting agent. Yes, perhaps too darn effective, they say. In fact, the environmental bureaucrats are now claiming that silver is so effective, if too much of it is released back into the environment, it could harm our fragile ecosystem by wiping out an ecologically important bacteria. So what are they planning on doing? A few months ago, the EPA quietly reclassified silver as a pesticide and a potential environmental pollutant under an antiquated 1947 law called the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. This action allows the bureaucrats to regulate both the production and use of silver if it is being produced for antimicrobial purposes. So once again, the traders in the District of Criminals are taking away or attempting to take away a very potent, natural, effective, and extremely wonderful and cheap way for us to fight microbial infections of all sorts. So to any of you who have not yet gotten this colloidal silver generator, I totally recommend to you that if I were you, I would certainly do so, because they're coming down hard, and they just had a show last week on one of the mainstream media stations, The Mysteries of Medicine, where the blue man appeared again and is touting that he turned blue because of colloidal silver, trying to scare people. I'm sure he was paid off by Big Pharma to do this to himself so that he could try to scare you and get all of you to think that colloidal silver is a dangerous thing, so that you'll keep buying all the antimicrobials produced by Big Pharma. It's a scam, folks, and it's nothing compared to what's happening with vaccines. So on that note, Patrick, I would like to thank you for suggesting that you interview me today. This is going to be great, because this will give me a chance to answer questions that I'm sure a lot of the listeners have. But before we start, could you just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure, Dr. Carly, and how are you doing today?
Well, I just went downstairs in my basement and found that it's flooded. So I'm a little wet today. It's funny how things work out. We're getting onslaught with rain now for the third day here in North Carolina. A little remnant of Faye, but that's okay. It hasn't dampened my enthusiasm.
Okay. Well, I'd like to introduce myself as a layman who is not an expert on anything except for being a husband and the father of two unvaccinated young boys. When my wife was pregnant with our first child back in 2005, I was tipped off by my brother about how the hospital was going to attempt to vaccinate my boy with a Hep B vaccine and vitamin K shot. So I then began my research into this whole mountain of lies known as vaccination at that point. Ever since then, I've been a complete nuisance to the vaccination industry by speaking out in various online forums and blogs, and by sounding the alarm in my own circle of family and friends and the occasional stranger. What I found is that most people are brainwashed to believe that if you aren't a so-called family and friends and the occasional stranger, what I found is that most people are brainwashed to believe that if you aren't a so-called expert, especially in the arena of medicine, that your opinion doesn't matter. And we are taught to worship allopathic doctors as gods, and that any treatment which doesn't perpetuate their empire is ridiculed as quackery. So my purpose here today is not only to glean information from Dr. Carly in my never-ending research into this subject, but to also encourage those of you who are reluctant to speak out on this subject for fear of being ridiculed, to put on your armor, especially your spiritual armor.
Amen.
And stand up for the millions of innocent children who are being severely damaged and or dying at the hands of these so-called experts.
And pets. I just
yes.
said, and pets. I can't forget the pets. Go ahead.
That's correct.
Yes. Is that it?
Well, that's my introduction as far as all I have to say about myself, and then I wanted to get to what you have to say, Dr. Carley.
Okay, but I just want to thank you, Patrick. It's truly amazing. One of our other listeners, Patrick Jordan, I'm affiliated with so many Patricks now. It's a very good name as far as I'm concerned, who had sent me information that led me to find this NATO book that proves that they've known about the aluminum causing the allergic response in vaccines for many times. He's also calls himself basically, as you do, just a layman, but I want to highlight the fact to the listeners that what you need is common sense. And when you actually start to check things out for yourself, and I encourage people to always check things out for yourself, don't believe me either. You must check things out for yourself. We have been lied to about everything, and it's so important for us to use our discernment to find the truth because there's so many disinformers out there. And they are going to such unbelievable levels now as people are waking up to this holocaust of vaccine-induced diseases to try to brainwash you and make you believe that the medicine people have your best interest at heart. What you have and what many people that contact me have, Patrick, is your common sense. And I always tell people one of the best questions you can always ask is of anyone, if there's a virus or any kind of disease, pathogen out there, and you're telling me that it's dangerous and I don't want to get it, then what makes it a good thing to inject it into my bloodstream? Because what you have to realize is that the Creator gave our bodies the ability to fight off disease. And this is something that's inherent in all of us, and the white coats are bypassing that by inoculating us with disease. And I really encourage you to start asking hard questions of the white coats. Of course, I've had a $10,000 reward on my website for over 2 years now for any vaccine promoter to come on this show and refute my information. And so far, there's no takers. So please do continue to do your due diligence because your children and your innocent pets are depending on you for their very life. And you must protect them no matter what it takes. And I get very frustrated when parents call me and they say, well, I have to get my child vaccinated to go to school, for my child to go to school. Basically, what am I going to do about that? And even asking that question, once they found my information, to think that they're not going to go through the hassle of finding a way to get an exemption for their children or even pulling them out of school. They don't need to learn how to put a condom on a banana. Take them out of school and homeschool them, people, if that's what it takes. Do not just submit your children for sacrificial offerings to the white coats, those medical devils, as B.J. Palmer called them. So I'll get off my soapbox now, but I really want to stress that because once enough people wake up and start asking hard questions of these white coats, there's not going to be a rock for them to hide under because they can't answer them.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Carley, usually the first reaction from someone who has been inculcated with the religion of vaccination their entire lives when confronted with the truth about vaccination is that of anger, disbelief, or ridicule. This phenomenon of reacting in such a manner when confronted with foreign information is commonly referred to as cognitive dissonance. You know, and then they proceed in Pavlovian fashion to parrot the same story about how if it wasn't for the polio vaccine, everyone would be in wheelchairs and or iron lungs. You know, it's almost as if you are blaspheming their God and that it's completely nuts to even have such a discussion, pro or con, about the subject of vaccination. Although, of course, many thousands of doctors are anti-vaccination. Could you please comment on why this cognitive dissonance factor exists so strongly in this nation, and how is it that most everyone is able to expertly deliver the predictable cliche-laden speech regarding the alleged savior of mankind, the polio vaccine?
I would love to. And in fact, it is true that medicine has become a religion, and the vaccinations are the baptismal rites. They are now giving them at birth. Welcome to the world. Here's your hepatitis B injection. And this is what I'm finding, is that to question the white coats is basically just as dangerous as to question somebody's religious beliefs or to present them with proof that their whatever religious institution they're involved with has been totally corrupted, because in my opinion they all have. So So it has, in fact, become like a religion. And it is true. The polio vaccine is always the one that people bring up to me when they want to know about vaccinations, how the polio vaccine wiped out polio, and how can you say that vaccines are a bad thing? So I encourage all of the people who believe that lie to go to thinktwice.com, which is the best source I can recommend for excellent books on vaccinations, and get the book, Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? By Neil Z. Miller. He has a whole chapter in here about the polio vaccine, and with graphic documentation, he proves that, in fact, polio cases skyrocketed after diphtheria and pertussis vaccines were introduced, because you see, the more assault you're giving to the immune system, the more the immune system breaks down and is not able to fight them. He proves that the polio death rate was decreasing on its own before the vaccine was introduced. Polio is an enteric virus. It's actually spread by fecal and urinary excrement. Basically, what was happening back in the days when there were polio epidemics was that there were no sanitation systems. People were using buckets to eliminate waste into and then pouring it out their windows. And it was basically flowing through the streets. And this is how polio became such an epidemic. Once they developed sanitation systems, the polio started to go away on its own. Neil Z. Miller also proves that the cases of polio actually increased in the U.S. after mass inoculations. And how did they hide this fact? Why, they changed the name of the disease. And this is what these minions always do. They started calling polio gotten from vaccines aseptic meningitis. You know, it's really amazing how they pull that trick all the time. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. And that's what you need to know about polio, folks. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction. I'm being interviewed by our guest, Patrick Gowden. And I see we have a caller on the line, Patrick Jordan from Illinois. Are you there, Patrick?
Hi, Doc.
Hello.
I heard my name mentioned, and I had to call in and talk to another fellow researcher sharing the same name.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
I wanted to give a shout-out to you, Patrick. Are you the individual that called into Dr. Carley and mentioned the child that had been vaccinated, fainted, and died from head injury?
Yes, that happened in Asheville, North Carolina. And by the way, I'm going to mention you in the interview today, by the way, Patrick, so
uh-oh,
the NATO book you uncovered. But yes, that was me that mentioned that. Who mentioned that?
And I just want to mention a little bit about that, because Patrick Godden had sent me a whole bunch of information, including an article that was in the Citizen Times about that situation where 15-year-old Asheville boy Kenny Ray Nelson died Tuesday morning in 2004, just minutes after receiving the vaccine. Now, what's amazing in this situation is that this boy fainted, went into convulsions, and then died. And what did the white coat pathologist determine was the cause of death? Why, of course, brain trauma from the fall. So they didn't blame the injury and death on the vaccination. They blamed it on the fact that he hit his head. And this is what these minions always do. They never admit that the vaccines are causing the death. I tried to reach this mom, Lori Watkins. I was not able to find her through the use of directory assistance, but I hope someday to have her come on the show, because, of course, this is what they always do, and that's what people have to realize.
Yes, and didn't the doctor even tell the mom, settle down, you know, fainting happens all the time.
Right, all the time. If you pass out after you're injected with something, is that a problem, people? Is fainting something severe? Is your body telling you that you've just been assaulted? I would say yes.
Correct.
So, guys, I just wanted to point out that a lot of my research is highly scientific, and it is not at all accessible to the public. And what Patrick uncovered with that story right there is something that everybody, anybody that has a brain, can wrap their minds around and see cause and effect of vaccine damage, and I thought that was just a fantastic piece of detective work.
Well, unfortunately, what everybody always says is, well, there's going to be the occasional setback with vaccines, but the benefits outweigh the risks. We always hear that mantra.
Right, right. So if you end up with a dead child, it's worth the risk because they're protecting people. Well, folks, it's obviously a big lie. As a matter of fact, the best way that you can get a working immune system is to get an infection in a natural way, have somebody cough or sneeze on you, and then your body learns how to fight it by itself, giving you lifelong natural immunity. That's how the Creator made us. And as a matter of fact, in the wonderful book, The Poison Needle, by Eleanor McBean, she actually states that the Creator fashioned the human body and closed the bloodstream from outside contamination. All objects entering the circulation must pass through intricate but efficient natural filters which bar out impurities. Yet man, with his hypodermic gadget, circumvents these filters regardless of the Almighty's forethought. And I thought that was a wonderful statement, and that's exactly what's going on. Because it's not just the viruses. Every part of the vaccine is a toxic poison.
Agreed.
So you guys brought up several points that I'm going to try to tie together into one massive question. Patrick brought up the point that people say, well, it's the good of the many over the good of the one, but that has to be based on statistics. And I've been studying polio, and every official statistic that I've come across does not agree. And I'm talking about the ancient print stuff from the 30s all the way through the 50s, and you can't trust electronic data because that's too easy to manipulate. So the stuff in print doesn't agree. So when they start saying, well, you know, the facts bear out that polio was the savior of the world, based on what? Okay, what we need to start doing is demanding that they actually show us the proof in print from the years that they are citing, because I'm looking into it right now, and I'm not finding the evidence.
Well, not only that, as I stated, and as discussed in Neil Z. Miller's book, Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? What they do is they change the name of the disease. Just like autism is actually subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, and now through Dr. Molden's work, we realize it's also strokes. Polio was called aseptic meningitis when it was given through a needle or through the oral polio vaccine. So this is what they always do, and that's what people have to realize.
So if I can ask a question, and then I'll probably ring off. Dr. Carly, you always talk about bypassing immunoglobulin A, IgA,
yes,
with the injection. And I went to a South Carolina university site, and there's an IgA, a IgD, as in dog, that nobody ever talks about, IgE, the allergy thing, IgG, which is, you know, commonly known by just about everybody, IgM, that you hardly hear about at all. And I'm thinking, we've got all these immunoglobulins that can react. And then the theory that I had been working on before I ever met you was that of serum thickness vasculitis.
Okay, wait, we're going to a break. Continue on the other side. Stay
okay.
Tuned, folks, and we have another call on the line. Hang on, Richard. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is inoculations, the two weapons of mass destruction. One of my listeners, Patrick Gowden, is interviewing me, and Patrick Jordan, one of my other listeners and a wonderful researcher that's brought forth a lot of information, was asking a question about serum sickness. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi, Doc. So what I was getting at is there's all these immunoglobulins out there. And when I came across the idea of serum sickness causing vasculitis, and then this whole process implanting these antibody complexes, circulating immune complexes in organs to cause disease, I started to see that vaccines could actually cause almost all diseases that I was looking at. It wasn't just natural infection, which is the way I was taught. That's the way I was brought up in school, is you get a natural infection and this is what happens. Then I met you, and you taught me that they give us unnatural infections with these live and just changed components and viruses. And then you had introduced us all to Dr. Molden, who added yet another component of serum sickness, vasculitis, and microvascular strokes. And I was wondering, can we put this all together in one big package? And can't we now explain every single disease that we're seeing, at least in North America?
Well, this is the one area where I have a differing opinion from Dr. Molden. There is no question that he has brought forth very important information with his technology that is documenting that the vaccinations are causing antigen-antibody complexes that are blocking up small microvessels and are causing strokes. And this is very important information, especially because it's going to allow people to bring forth lawsuits, especially in Canada, where he's from, and is going to be able to prove even to the white coats without question that these vaccinations are causing all kinds of damage. And I was not aware of that aspect of the picture, of the stroke aspect. But in fact, the way I look at it is that vaccine-induced diseases and what he calls MASS, Molden Anoxic Spectrum Syndromes, they do coincide in terms of the type 3 immune complex reactions, which, as I said, is where you have an antibody combining with an antigen, which in most cases with vaccines is a virus, and then these very large complexes block off the small blood vessels, especially when all the white cells are called in to deal with the problem. So that's where these two things would coincide. But Dr. Molden's MASS syndrome also includes drug-induced vasculitis, so that would be outside of the VIDS category. And VIDS includes many things that are not included in the stroke model, including IgE-induced hypersensitivity, which is a type 1 reaction that includes all kinds of allergies and anaphylactic shock. It also includes the autoimmune aspect of the vaccinations, where the antibodies, especially those antibodies formed by injecting foreign tissues that are used to culture the viruses, those are injected into you as well when you get the vaccinations, and you develop antibodies against those foreign tissues, and those antibodies then attack your tissues. And as a matter of fact, Dr. Patricia Jordan has actually sent me an article from Nature Immunology entitled Particularities of the Vasculature Can Promote the Organ Specificity of Autoimmune Attack, published in March of 2006, which actually shows that when this aspect of the autoimmunity comes in, you get increased permeability of the vessels. In other words, instead of the vessels being clotted off, they're actually becoming more permeable. And other things that are released from the immune system, I don't want to get too technical, during this assault, are actually allowed to go into the tissues and start to break down the tissues. So that's another aspect that's not included in his stroke model. We also have cancer, we have genetic mutations, and we have all kinds of other things like stealth viruses and microchips. So none of these things are included under the MASS spectrum. So the way I look at it is that there is an area in which both of these two ideas come together, as I said, but there's also things on both sides that are not covered by the other. The bottom line is the white coats are really doing a very bad thing with all of their inoculations and drugs, and that's what people have to wake up to.
Thanks for helping us out with that one. If I could just make one comment, and then I'll ring off.
Okay.
You guys had talked about polio. And in New York alone, back in the days of horses and buggies, the horse manure used to be piled up like snowbanks on the streets so that you could barely walk across the streets. And that would also give rise to things like tetanus. And just to make this whole conversation come full circle, you talk about weapons of mass destruction. One of the other things that they inoculate newborns with is a tetanus vaccine, and that's precisely where they hide the the anti-fertility component in a vaccine, so most people are born having been injected with a vaccine that will probably be the end of humanity.
Yes, I totally agree with you on so many levels, not to mention the genetic mutations. I actually talk about these plasmids of DNA that they're injecting into us, well, not to mention the genetic mutations. I actually talk about these plasmids of DNA that they're injecting into us, which are going to alter our very genetic structure, as being the ultimate mark of the beast. And this is also a spiritual assault as well, when you bring in the cannibalism and genetic structure as being the ultimate mark of the beast. And this is also a spiritual assault as well, when you bring in the cannibalism involved in growing vaccine viruses on dead babies. So this is so evil, it's hard to even comprehend, and I know it's hard for people to face what I'm saying, but this is a fact, folks. Check things out for yourself. And I want to thank you, Patrick Jordan, so much for your hard work. Patrick's going to write a part in the book that Dr. Jordan and I are working on, and this is going to be a very important wake-up call to all the people that want to go to the highest levels of what the vaccines are doing. So God bless you, Patrick. Keep up your good work, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you, and thank you, Patrick, too, for all of your wonderful work.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to hear you contribute to this whole subject. It's all scary, but it's good to know people like you are on our side.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, we have another caller on the line. Let me just bring him on quickly. I know you have a lot more questions for me, Patrick, but Richard's on the line from Massachusetts. Are you there, Richard?
Hi, Dr. Carley. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Listen, I understand the argument, and I have looked or I have collected an enormous amount of information. I understand the argument, and I have looked or I have collected an enormous amount of information on vaccines, read histories, and so forth. But one thing strange that has occurred to me is I have never seen a study that says vaccines are safe, effective, and efficient.
And I guess that's because there's never been one.
Well, yes, I mean, that's the point. If somebody could produce a study that said that the government has studied it, or somebody, anybody, has studied it and found them to be efficient and appropriate, you could look at it and break it down into individual arguments, but there are none. If that is the case, then this is a grand experiment, and there are laws to prevent that.
Exactly.
That's one of the things.
See, Dr. Molden actually just announced he's actually running for Prime Minister of Canada, and part of his platform is going to be no more compulsory inoculations. And that's one of the things he's trying to bring forward with his important work, is the criminality of all this. There are laws protecting us from criminal behavior. And even though they tend to just bypass those laws and do whatever they say, that is what people have to realize. This is a criminal assault. I totally agree with you.
Well, one of the best-known laws that everybody knows about, actually, is the Nuremberg protocols.
Exactly.
They experimented on Jews and gypsies and a number of people, and their end result was quite bad.
Yes.
So if you look at vaccines individually or break it down to minutia, you're losing the point. The point is that this is not a guarantee that humanity is going to be protected. It's there are so many holes in the argument of these things being safe that it's not worth the risk. And they say, if you don't vaccinate, all these diseases will come back. Well, that may be true, and that's nature at work. However, if you do vaccinate, we'll come down with Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis and lupus and autism and so forth and so on. So what kind of a risk are you taking?
Well, let me just comment on a couple of aspects to this, and I just want to tell the listeners, this is Richard Diaz calling in. He's also done shows with me that are on the archives, and he's been a researcher in the aspect of Mercury for a long time and has an unbelievable DVD that he's created that I send to all my clients. But first of all, I just want to say that these vaccinations are actually weapons of genocide. And this is where I go that no other vaccine, anti-vaccine person goes. You know, Dr. Molden is using a strategy of saying he's not mad at anyone. He's just trying to alert the people as to the damage that's being done, like it was some big mistake. I cannot do that. I have to speak the truth because I know this is a weapon of genocide. They are decreasing the population. In fact, if you look up Title 50 of the U.S. Code, Chapter 32, Section 1520 and 1524, it states in there that they can experiment, Department of Defense can experiment on any American with biological or chemical warfare agents, and they can do so without our permission as long as local civilian officials are notified 30 days in advance. And, of course, Section 1524 says they can bond with the Secretary of Human Health and Services to use vaccinations to do so. So this is an intentional assault. There's no question that that's what's going on. They know at the highest levels exactly what they're doing. As far as the diseases come back, as I explain in my paper on drcarley.com, which is my response to the CDC's Public Health Protection Guide, where I actually went back into my medical books and found the truth buried amongst the lies, it actually states in there that vaccines do not prevent disease. They give you a chronic infection. Once you bypass the secretory IgA and all the natural filters in the body, as Eleanor McBean said in that book that I quoted from, and inject yourself directly with these agents, these foreign viruses, bacteria, etc., you are actually bypassing the natural things that are in our immune system, especially secretory IgA that our Creator gave us, which processes these things and allows us to eventually push them out. By bypassing, especially secretory IgA, as I explain in my paper, Inoculations are True Weapons of Mass Destruction, you cannot push the viruses out. As a matter of fact, the only way I found to do so is through homeopathic nosodes, and therefore you have a chronic infection, and these viruses are going to remain in you for untold time periods. They're going to combine, plasmids of DNA are going to break off, they're going to combine with your DNA. I mean, the things that are happening are best represented in the animals, as Dr. Jordan talks about, all the genetic mutations that are occurring in the animals. All the thoroughbreds now seem to have some genetic problem in each breed, and this is being caused by the vaccination. So I would like you to thank you for calling in, Richard. There's no question that this is the truth, and that's why I want you listeners to know that each one of these men, they are not medical doctors. They are personal researchers who had a problem or wanted to investigate a problem, and they know more about vaccinations and the immune system than any white coat I know. So I would like to thank you so much for calling in, Richard. That's a very important point that you're bringing forward, and I encourage the listeners to go to your white coat next time you go, if you feel the need, if you must do so, and ask them, please give me documentation that vaccines are A, safe, or B, effective, and watch how fast they run to the bathroom.
Thanks.
Yes, and also ask them to read the warning label on the vaccines before they give them to you. Whatever happened to informed consent?
Exactly, especially the part where it says for all vaccines in the PDR, you can check this out for yourself, that no vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer, including Gardasil, the vaccine that was allegedly created to protect you from cervical cancer. That's never been tested to see if it causes cancer either. What's up with that? And I have to also comment on what you're talking about in terms of informed consent. This one approach to inoculate everybody, it doesn't matter if the baby's a little preemie that was born 2 months before it's even supposed to be leaving its mother's womb, or whether it's a very large baby, they give the same dose of vaccine. This is also true for pets, a tiny little chihuahua versus a Great Dane. They give the same dose of vaccine. They don't even consider the individual's immune system situation at the time. It even says in the PDR that if somebody has an infection, you're not supposed to vaccinate them. But the pediatricians always do. Oh, it's a little fever. It's okay. Roll up the sleeve. You see, they just are so anxious to inject you with that disease, and I am convinced that most of these individuals know exactly what they're doing. In fact, one of my heroes, Dr. Patricia Jordan, who is the veterinarian who is to pets what I am to people, who was recently fired from her job in a veterinary clinic because she wouldn't stop documenting the vaccine-induced cancer in the pets. She was actually told as she was going out interviewing for other positions by one of the places she went that this one particular individual veterinarian had a $2 million vaccine-based practice, and they did not want her to work there because they were afraid that that would interfere. Translation, we create disease with the vaccinations, and we make $2 million a year by managing those diseases. That's what's happening, folks, and this is very good news for our country in terms of quote-unquote health care, because, you see, once we stop giving vaccinations, we won't need to give most of these drugs. Imagine how the cost of health care is going to plummet.
Well, it would be like the Soviet Union when they collapsed. The citizens there didn't even know what to do, and they would be scared to death if they had to fend for themselves in a natural world and use natural remedies and eat correctly. It would be a shock to our system, but nonetheless, we still need to learn how to do that again.
Yes, there's nothing to be afraid of. Our body has the innate intelligence in it. Our Creator gave our bodies the ability to heal itself. All you have to do is get out of the way, learn what's really poisonous, like aspartame and fluoride and genetically modified food and all these things that our government-sponsored minions are creating and poisoning us with. Check things out for yourself. Learn what's really good for you, what's really bad for you, and do what's good for you, and you will be fine. Fear is one of the main ways that they're keeping us in the box. It's time to break out of the box. It's very nice outside the box. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be back in a minute. We have a short segment, and then we're going to go to hour two. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction. I'm being interviewed by a very special listener in Florida, Patrick Gowden. Take it away, Patrick.
Okay, Dr. Carley, I'd like to jump right into what separates you from many others who are also anti-vaccination. Whenever the subject of vaccination is discussed, invariably the thimerosal autism link is brought up. I used to be in that same camp when I first started studying this subject, that autism was the main concern as far as damage caused, and that thimerosal, or mercury, was the main culprit. I then stumbled upon an audio interview of you conducted by Greg Chiola of the publication called The Crusader. And then I read your paper entitled Inoculations, True Weapons of Mass Destruction, and it was as if a ton of bricks was unloaded on my head as to just how bad these vaccines truly are, and that mercury, although highly toxic, is far from being the only adjuvant of which to be concerned, and that autism is but one of hundreds of ailments and diseases of which vaccines cause throughout our lifetimes. So not only that, you claim that autism is not caused by thimerosal, that autism will still manifest itself even if the mercury is fully removed.
Yes.
Can you comment on how the whole thimerosal autism subject is actually being used as a distraction, even by well-meaning opponents of vaccination, from the overall big picture of the dangers of vaccines? And
go ahead.
And can you stretch out and explain some of the mechanics of how vaccinations cause a myriad of disease ailments, regardless if they can't contain mercury?
Yes, I can. That's a very big answer, and I'm probably going to have to go into that after the break. But I just want to state to begin with that I do not believe that there are any well-meaning people out there in the autism community promoting mercury as a cause of autism. Because, not to pat myself on the back, but my information has been out there for 10 years. I've been stating the same thing for 10 years. I feel very strongly that these people are actually intentionally disinforming people. like this group Generation Rescue that talks about greening our vaccines. How can you have a green vaccine? How can you green a hypodermic syringe full of viruses, formaldehyde, aluminum, and all of this, the rest of the witch's brew, aborted fetal cells? How can you green that? You can take the mercury out, you just have one less toxin. So what I know is that these people are trying to make people believe that if you take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. And a bigger lie has never been told. So that's first of all, because the parents of the autistic children are an army, and they know that the vaccines did the damage to their children, no matter what the white coats tell them, that it's their genetics or it was just a coincidence. They, in all cases, had normal, healthy children. They went to get the MMR vaccine, which, by the way, has never had mercury, and they ended up with a child who had no eye contact, who had no speech in many cases, who's flapping their hands and obsessed with spinning things and all kinds of other stimulatory behaviors that they have, who will not, you know, give affection or receive affection, all of these different things. They know the vaccines did it. And so the mercury was brought out as an excuse for the vaccine manufacturers and the CDC and the other alphabet agencies to say, oh, we're sorry. We didn't know. We didn't do the math and add up how much mercury was in these vaccines and figure out that the children were getting about 100 times what the EPA itself recommends as a safe dose. We forgot to do that. We're sorry. We're going to take the mercury out now and everything will be okie-dokie. Wrong. It's a lie. And as I said, the MMR has never had mercury. And that's almost always a vaccine that causes autism. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back and I'll explain how the vaccines cause autism. We'll be right back.